So we are reading today from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, chapter 13, text 100. So I beg the mercy of all the Vaishnavas assembled here, especially senior Vaishnavas, because feeling myself unqualified to give such a class on Chaitanya Charitamrita, I beg for your mercy so that I can speak something of value. Thank you. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Seeing the lunar eclipse and laughing, both Advaitacharya and Haridas Thakur immediately went to the bank of the Ganges and bathed in the Ganges in great jubilation. Taking advantage of the occasion of the lunar eclipse, Advaitacharya, by his own mental strength, distributed various types of charity to the Brahmanas. Purport. It is the custom of Hindus to give in charity to the poor as much as possible during the time of a lunar or solar eclipse. Advaitacharya, therefore, taking advantage of this eclipse, distributed many varieties of charity to the Brahmanas. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a statement in the 10th canto, 3rd chapter, verse 11, that when Krishna took birth, immediately Vasudev, taking advantage of this moment, distributed 10,000 cows to the Brahmanas. It is customary among Hindus that at the time a child is born, especially a male child, the parents distribute great charity in jubilation. Advaitacharya was actually interested in distributing charity because Lord Chaitanya's birth at the time of the lunar eclipse. People could not understand, however, why Advaitacharya was giving such a great variety of things in charity. He did so not because of the lunar eclipse, but because of the Lord's taking birth at that moment. He distributed charity exactly as Vasudev did at the time of Lord Krishna's appearance. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatri Vascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So, This chapter deals with the birth of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this particular verse, we know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was born at the time of the lunar eclipse. Prabhupada explains in many of his purports that lunar eclipse actually takes place when the Rahu, the dark planet, he covers the moon or the sun. So if he covers the moon, then it is the lunar eclipse. And if Rahu covers the sun, it's the solar eclipse, like that. So usually these times, Prabhupada explains, is inauspicious times. And therefore, you know, especially Hindus in India these days, I don't think so. But in those times they used to give lots in charity just to, you know, keep their piety intact so that, you know, they can have good times. Because, you know, this time was special, lunar eclipse. So they used to give a lot in charity. And that was, as we know, when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was born, everyone chanted Hari Hari. So the Harinam Sankirtan began then. That was the intention of the Lord. And the intention of the Lord was because Advaitacharya Prabhu had called upon him, seeing the degraded condition. Now, this was 500 years ago. And at that time also, conditions were degraded. But 500 years later, they are much more degraded now. So, at that time, Advaitacharya Prabhu called and his prayers were answered. So, therefore, he is rejoicing and giving variety of things in charity. Because he was also older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, 30 years older. So, therefore, you know, it was like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also his son. So, just like Vasudev did at the time of Lord Krishna's appearance, Advaitacharya also is fulfilling those duties. And also he's happy that the Lord has finally answered his prayers. So, we can see, like, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he inaugurated the Sankirtan movement. I'm going to talk a bit more, mostly about the Sankirtan movement, like that. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can see, even when in his childhood pastimes, he shows his potency when the thief, you know, kidnaps him to steal his jewels and he bewilders him. He goes round and round the house and finally he doesn't know where he is. So he leaves little Nimai there and goes with his jewels intact. So we can see the Lord's potency, the Lord showing his potency. Then at the time of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, they gave up their kingdom, their ministerial posts, their wealth, all just to take part in his Sankirtan movement, being attracted by him. He was so attractive, and also his mission was so attractive. They gave that. He was also instrumental in going to Tapan Mishra, who was the father of Raghunath Bhatta. And at that time, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was very little. And at that time, he blessed the child. And he told him that when you are old enough, please come to, you know, Vrindavan. And then join the other Goswamis. And you also, you know, participate in this Sankirtan movement. He did the same with Gopal Bhatta. He went to the house of Venkata Bhatta in South India. Sri Rangam, which is the seat of the Sri Vaishnavas, Ramanujacharya, adventured there long before. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Venkata Bhatta's house. There he saw a little, you know, Gopal. And at that time he again blessed him and told him that you join the Goswamis in Vrindavan when you are ready for it. He did too. And then we see that even with Raghunath Das Goswami, whose parents' income was supposed to be something like 12 lakh gold coins per annum, you know. So him, and he was married, he had a beautiful wife. He left all that. So just to join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we can see that the Lord's all attractive feature is in full force in this movement, inaugurated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is mentioned that before a lot of avatars, Krishna comes, there are as many avatars as there are waves in the ocean. And they all come. But they all connect people, you know, to the process of the age. And then those who participate in it sincerely, they go back to Vaikuntha. But it is mentioned here that anarpita charim chirag karunaya avatirma kalo, that namo mahavadanyaya Krishna prema pradayate. He is so merciful, this Lord, that he has given something that no other incarnation has ever given. Most of the incarnations, they connected people to the Yuga Dharma and took them, gave them Vaikuntha. Lord Ram made an exception with the sages of Dandakaranya, where because they were attracted to him in that rasa, then he told them, yeah, you can fulfill your desires when I come as Krishna. You know, so they got to be the gopis like that. But most other avatars, they connected. So we see that in Satyug, you know, it was very difficult. People were most qualified then. Actually, it is mentioned that the Harinam Sankirtan is for all ages. For Satyug, Dwapar Yug, Treta Yug and Kali Yug. It is not just for Kali Yug. But in those times when people were much qualified, they took to, you know, austerities of performing meditation. Meditation within their heart on the Paramatma. That was the process. For thousands of years, 60,000 years. Kardama Muni, we see 10,000 years. So they used to perform for 60,000 years because they are alive for 100,000 years. So they performed that. And in the end, they got the Vaikuntha planets when the Lord was pleased. Similarly, Treta Yug, it was Yajna, Paryajnas. The Lord comes in Treta Yug. In Satyug, the Lord comes as Hamsavatar, the white avatar. And in Treta Yug, the Lord comes as Yajna himself, or Vishnu. And so, Yajna is the Yuga Dharma of that age. So, lots of kings, we could see Lord Ram perform so many yajnas. Ashwamedha yajna, all the yajnas were there and people participated. There were brahmanas who could chant, you know, mantras with the right meters. And lots of ghee was fed into the kund, which was the mouth of Lord Vishnu. So, lots of money was spent. And again, people got Vaikuntha planets as a result of performing that Yuga Dharma. In Dwapar Yug, it was worship of the deities. And we can see several temples came up. During Krishna's time, the 5,000 temples in Vrindavan, which were there, mostly after he left, Vajranab, his grandson, he established most of those. So we can see that in Dwapar Yug, temple worship was prominent. And now in Kali Yug, Harir Nam, Harir Nam, Harir Nam, Eva Kevalam, Kalav Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatir Anyata. So, there is no other way. So, we don't have to, it is so easy. We don't have to look for alternatives. Any other process is definitely not going to help. That is a clear sign, you know, that, and only Harinam Sankirtan. So, that is given. So, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we know, 24 years he lived in Nadia, his Bal Leela and Paugand Leela took place there. And afterwards he took sannyas. And then he travelled for 6 years to South India, Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri. And at that time, wherever he used to go, people used to just chant the holy name. They used to get attracted to the holy name and to the personality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and took it seriously and became devotees. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very much, he is the Audarya Ras he exhibits. So, he very much felt, actually Krishna when he comes, he opens the door to Vrindavan Dham for ordinary living entities. But then seeing that people are not ready to take his advice, you know, seriously, he realizes that people in the age of Kali, they need love, they need compassion. So he brings this Audarya Ras, the heart of Srimati Radharani, and Sri Krishna himself comes and he distributes this. And everyone is attracted towards him. Now this is in Kali Yuga. We know that Jesus Christ also came in Kali Yuga and he gave the Ten Commandments, which are subhuman principles or humanistic principles as well. But he was killed for that. Ultimately, people couldn't tolerate it. You know, what is this advice? We don't want it. So he was killed for that. Muhammad came, he gave the Quran and he was nearly killed. And he used to spend most of his time, he had to spend in hiding because people rejected his advice also. His advice was also basic. Thou shalt not sleep with thy mother and thy sister. So totally animalistic platform. He was bringing people on animalistic platform to human platform. But they, you know, wanted to kill him for that. So we can see that even when Lord sends his son and messengers, at that time also people reject. But they went to a particular place. But when the Lord himself comes, he comes to a particular place. And then he spreads the movement. And he attracts everyone to him. And people take to it. And 500 years later, today also, Krishna consciousness is spreading like wildfire. It is, Krishna conscious movement is what, 50 years old. So if that is compared with Christianity and Islam, then we can see that today most of the world knows about Krishna consciousness. Even though it's so, you know, maybe about 1 million people at the most, including the followers. So not very much prominent in terms of numbers. But still, it is, you know, significant because everyone seems to have heard of it and everyone has come in contact with it. So, the thing is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, once he asks Thakur Haridas, Haridas, he says, I am really in anxiety, transcendental anxiety, because I want to, you know, basically, I want all the souls to take up this process and come back home to me. And, you know, how is this going to happen? Because I'm seeing that people are not taking this. So Haridas says, O Lord, you have come and you have chanted the holy names. And the potency of the holy names is so strong that it is permeating in terms of echo in the whole universe. So he says the holy name is permeating the whole universe. It is there. And it is just a matter of time. Because you have come and you have chanted the holy name, everyone will be released. Everyone will be released. You know, you don't have to worry about that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is pacified. And then again when Vasudev Dutt, he feels compassion for all the living entities. And he tells the Lord that, you know, I'm ready to take the sins of all living entities in the universe. You please condemn me to hellish life, to suffer for those sins life after life. Like that. And at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells him that, Vasudev, just by your desire, that's already attained. That's already done. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to, you know, come here and suffer. Just by your desire it will happen. So Srila Prabhupada was an embodiment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. We can see that wherever Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, he made devotees. Srila Prabhupada, similarly, when he came to the West, Shyam Sundar Prabhu, you know, he mentions that Haight Ashbury was the center of sense gratification. You know, there were tribes everywhere. He calls them tribes. That ours was a tribe. We were trying to be Krishna conscious because of Prabhupada. But then there was a mountain tribe, people who worshipped nature, you know, beside us. Then there was some other tribe following some other things. But basically everything was, you know, how to get maximum sense enjoyment. That was the culture, you were saying. And then he says, once Prabhupada came, I mean, he said that we were all hippies. We had rejected the culture of the day. And, you know, there was this saying, never believe anyone over 30. They were following that. So they had no faith because the consumerist economic principles of the government had taken roots. And people knew that they were slave to a system that sucked out all their life but didn't give them anything in return in terms of happiness, peace or prosperity in any sense. So they had realized that. They had rejected their parents and society. And they had, rejecting everyone, they had come to live like hippies. You know, we'll do whatever we want, like that. But when Prabhupada took the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there, and he spoke to them, Shamsundar says, it was so surprising. He says, every day in the evening when Prabhupada used to give class, he used to be challenged again and again on, you know, why believe in God? Where is God? This, that and the other. But taking everyday simple examples, you know, Prabhupada used to convince them, you know, of the sun, the moon. How are these working? You know, whatever paintings are hanging here, you can see that some spirit soul has put them there. So a spirit soul is needed to get something done, to move something. Similarly, there's a spirit soul beyond, behind everything in the universe that is beyond human capability to, you know, influence. And that is done by the Supreme Personality. So simple examples, he used to say, and Shamsundar Prabhu said, we all believed it. And he came and he said, Krishna, you know, believe in Krishna. Krishna is a blue boy, small blue boy. And we believed it. We said, why not? Krishna can be. Before they had rejected all these things. But how, you know, as soon as Prabhupada said this, he says, we all accepted it. He especially gives this thing that one Gaur Purnima, you know, Prabhupada told them, you know, we are all going to fast today. It is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. And they didn't know what fasting was because they thought it was very, you know, very strange that you have to abstain from food. So, but they followed it because Prabhupada said it. And then they wanted to do something, you know, like usually when we are fasting, we need to do something with the body because it's, you know, itching to do something. So they all took mridangas and all, and they went. Prabhupada was living two floors up, and they went near that, below that street, and they started chanting loudly the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then Gurudas Prabhu, who was with Prabhupada, he was saying that Prabhupada was so happy. He told Upendra, who was his servant at that time, he said, go and call all of them up. So Upendra from the, you know, from his place where he was there, two floors above, he made a sign like this. And the devotees didn't know this sign. So they thought, Upendra was saying, Prabhupada doesn't want you here, go away. So they all started going away. But then Upendra came running and they said, Prabhupada wants you, all of you in that room. And then they, devotees all went there, 20 of them. And they said, Prabhupada was beaming. He had a big smile. And he says, look, you have inaugurated the Sankirtan movement. From today, he says, he said, told Tamal Krishna Goswami, Shamsundar Prabhu says, that every day you go to places and take the Harinam Sankirtan everywhere. And that was the inauguration. Like that. And Prabhupada himself, we know, Tomkinson Park, we just celebrated that day when he did that 50 years ago, you know. So he also started by that. So Sankirtan movement is known. Of course, the name is all powerful. Golokera Prema Dhana Harinam Sankirtan. It comes from the spiritual world. It's full of potencies. It is the only answer to all of those universe's problems. We know that Prabhupada, you know, again and again his servants were saying that he used to, whenever he had any problems, or even otherwise, he used to always chant. Because he knew that was the solution. And we know what Prabhupada did. What he did was a miracle. As Shyam Sundar says, coming at that time and telling people about the regulative principles itself, it was shocking for everyone then. And they were thinking, what's going on? They never even imagined. Now, when he goes around the world, he says that at that time, I used to know the devotee in each and every center. Now when I go, I don't know most devotees. So he's saying how much this movement is spreading that I don't know any devotees now. So many new people are coming. So he was saying that he's so happy with it. But what Sankirtan movement did was not only the holy name, which is at the foremost, but it gave a lifestyle, you know. Most other cultures, you know, it is very difficult for them to give a lifestyle that we in the Krishna conscious movement have. Every time, you know, there are six aartis, there's reading, there's chanting. These are there. But another thing that's most important is we can engage in so many other things. Sankirtan movement, because it has brought the Vedas to the fore now, the Vedic knowledge has come to the fore. And the knowledge of the Vedas is, you know, immeasurable. It touches all parts of the life. So it has changed everything. You know, people are now going organic. But the Vedas were recommending organic things. And now the Krishna conscious farms, they're coming up with organic, you know, growing, cultivating organic vegetables. So today, this on the World Yoga Day at the UN, you know, the most important thing that all these leaders of the UN, you know, 193 nations voted to make that day, sometime in April, the Yoga Day, you know, and they were all unanimous that it should be yoga. Because yoga had touched everyone's life. You know, even one, the Bangladesh, you know, representative, he was saying how, you know, after attending so many meetings at the UN, he had a back pain. And he just practiced one bhujangasana, and that solved all his problems. And since he became a fan, you know, like, it is just showing that even representatives from the Muslim countries, you know, they took it up. So, because yoga is not Indian, it is, you know, it is for the world. Everything Vedic is for the world. Like that. So even though they thanked, it comes from India, but it is for the world like that. So yoga is just one small aspect of the Vedic, you know, knowledge that the Sankirtan movement has brought to the fore. But we are touching lives on each and every level. Agriculture is one. Today, yeah. So on the yoga day, they were thinking, all these leaders were saying when they gave speeches, that the welfare of humanity is at the foremost of their minds. All these leaders. And what they were doing is, each one of them was saying, we spend so much on this project to benefit the people. We spend so much on that project to benefit the people. And we know in the UK, you know, close at hand, we have the benefit system. Yeah? Has the benefit system changed people? No. More and more people want to go on the benefit system to take advantage of it. So spending money on this, on just helping people change, you know, where they live, what they, you know, what they wear, giving them, you know, benefits, doesn't change them. This Sankirtan movement, the greatest thing it has done is it gives the individual the tools to change himself or herself. And that tool is like, it is rare, it is unique. You know, no matter what our background, like Shamsundar, all the hippies joined. But they are today all gurus in the movement. And they have been there for 45, 50 years, following strictly and inspiring so many other souls and bringing them. So that tool of the Sankirtan movement, that is the greatest thing. Because that, wherever we are, we can just accept that tool and access peace, happiness, ecstasy. That is the rightful claim of the living entity. Because he's a soul, the soul should be connected to the sound vibrations of the spiritual world, the lifestyles of the spiritual world. So whatever is given to us in the Sankirtan movement is everything is to connect ourselves to the soul, which is who we are. And then accessing that ecstasy is a byproduct. In fact, sometimes we get so carried away that still the ego comes up. That, you know, there's so much joy and enjoyment in the movement in just following the process correctly. You know, that we feel, oh, you know, I'm something. And then Maya kicks and then we come to know, you know, no, I'm just that little spark. I have to still, you know, be in touch with the fire and not get extinguished by going away from it. Like that. So, Sankirtan movement has touched, you know, our lives in changing ourselves. It is the topmost personal growth, you know, personal realization, personal growth tool. Yeah. And anything like, so these leaders were talking about well-being, but how Krishna consciousness gives, it changes what we eat. Krishna consciousness, Sankirtan, teaches us to eat organic anyway. Eat it after spiritualizing it by offering it to the Lord. So, food is taken care of. How it is grown is taken care of. Shelter. In Africa, Hare Krishna Das, one of the sons of a Prabhupada disciple, you know, he is building, you know, ecological homes. Same thing is happening in Shivaram Swami Maharaj's farm in Hungary. And also in the Govardhan Eco Village in Mumbai, in Brazil. So many people. So everything that the Sankirtan movement is given is towards our well-being. How to eat, how to drink, sleep, mate also, and defend. Garbhodhan Sanskar, so very special. You know, we can see when demoniac souls, the description is there in Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, when Hiranyakashipu, demoniac souls come, the whole ecology is disturbed. So the birth of demoniac souls, and in Kali Yuga mostly it is demoniac souls coming down. And we can see the climate ecological disaster it has created. Not only for that, but also the greenhouse gases and other reasons. Yeah. But the thing is, the Garbhodhan Sanskar, you know, attracting, you know, the pious souls or the elevated souls to the womb, you know, that changes the ecology. So in everything, well-being involves eating, drinking, sleeping, mating, and defending and sleeping. So everything is refined by the Vedic knowledge that has been brought by the Sankirtan movement. So I can go on and on, but now it's time for breakfast. But before that, if anyone has any questions, comments, or realizations to share.